You're listening to Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears, impacting marriages that leave a lasting legacy. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us here this bright and crisp Wednesday morning for the Marriage Minute.
Yeah. Woo-hoo!
We have fun here
excited.
In the studio.
And yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully you guys caught Evangelist Dan last night. Mm-hmm. It was a really good message about healing. So if you haven't listened to that, Jesus's attitude about your healing, grab a hold of that website, app, any rope. I don't know if we're doing TV stuff now.
So yeah, we've got TV. We got the TV app on Roku and Apple TV. We've got the
Facebook, YouTube. You can catch
Revival Now app, the website, revivalnow.com. There's a lot of different ways to watch and take in the content.
Amen.
And so we just welcome you to do that.
And listen, like,
thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. And like and share, not just Marriage Minute. So we all have people in our sphere of influence, in our friend circle, in our family circle, that just struggle a bit marriage-wise, mm-hmm. you know. And they've just settled into, this is just all there is. My spouse isn't going to change. I don't really feel like changing, but I'm not happy. And so, you know, just tap into the Marriage Minute episodes we've been running since, was it 2021?
Yep.
October 2021. And we've got quite a storehouse of content and episodes that you can pull from, you know, and nothing warms our heart more than number one, seeing someone come to Jesus, but, hearing testimony. We've got a friend that, on the regular tells us, yeah, I just ran across these people, they were struggling with their marriage. I directed them to the Marriage Minute. And we're just like, thank you, Jesus, because God has more for you. Amen.
Amen.
You don't have to stay where you are. And when you allow God in and Jesus to be the Lord of your entire life, including your marriage, change happens.
Yeah.
Change happens. So
you've got to let him in and you have to surrender. When you do that and you say, look, God, you know better than I do. That humbling or that humble attitude, mm-hmm. that's going to take you places with the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.
So last week we've been talking about our value system, like our family values.
Right.
And, you know, honestly, when I dove into that and we dove into the research and the study on it for last week's message, I can't remember the week before if that touched on it as well. I was stuck. You know, you're like, well, what are your family values? You know, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't know that I've really ever took time to pray about and think about what our family, my family values are, you know, based on, because you get your family values, obviously, from what you see growing up, from your childhood and what you see and you experience from your parents and them also from their parents. And so it's really a generational thing. It could be negative or positive. So
it's a lot of times it's caught before and it's really caught. It's not, I mean, it's taught in some ways. If there's some intentionality to it, certainly you're going to learn from your parents, especially if they're teaching you. But sometimes it's just caught. We observe behaviors. Mm-hmm. We observe ways of doing life,
that
doing marriage,
modeling,
parenting, whatever. And we just repeat what
Amen.
We've seen. And so we need to break that cycle.
So like I said, it's either positive or negative. And so what we want, obviously, is a godly, positive family value system that mm-hmm. we pass down to our kids, to their kids, to the third and fourth generation, as the Lord will bless your family to the third and fourth mm-hmm. generation if we obey his commands and follow his will and in his word. Amen.
Amen.
So obviously, you know, your value system means every single thing to the future of your family. So what do you value? Do you value money? Do you value social status? You know, you can value anything. There's anything out there that value, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can value placing church and quote unquote God above everything else. But are you attending church and the in church in the city that you live in for social status?
Right.
I mean, those are things that you really need to think of. You know, when you give, you know, hopefully everybody tithes out there. If you don't, you need to. It's scripture. It's biblical. And that's a whole nother, you know, Evangelist Dan can speak on that as well. But, you know, you really have to look, and it's not a bad thing to say, why am I going to this church? You know, Is the teaching biblically based? Is, you know, am I going because I like who I'm interacting with and who we go to lunch with afterwards? Am I, you know, it's just everything that's the humility part, you know, because we're not saying that's a bad thing. We're just saying you need to look at all that, right? You need to be able to be aware of your motivation for doing all of those things.
Yeah. You have to examine your life. And, you know, if you're going to church, and again, we're not trying to be critical here, but
no.
If you're going to church and you're just checking it off the box, it's just like a weekly duty.
Right.
Then you're not getting the full value. Let me just say it that way. You're not receiving the full value and benefits that God has for you.
Yeah, and like we said last week,
and God wants you to have the full benefits.
We don't want our children to recover from us.
No.
We don't want our children in their 20s, in their 30s, and maybe even later to have to have some inner healing, you know, and we don't want them to recover from us. We want the blessings of God to the third and fourth generation in our family. And that's what we strive for.
We're pursuing.
Amen. So that's kind of a little bit of a recap from last week. And so what are you building your family on? Again, we asked that this week. What are you building your family on? And let's talk about scripturally how we can bring something visual to that. So,
yeah.
So Matthew 7, we're going to go Matthew 7, 24 and through 27.
Matthew chapter 7.
So here's what the word says. And this is a lot of you have heard this, you know, building your, where are you building your foundation on? Mm-hmm. The sand or the rock? You know, we've heard that in the Bible. So I'm going to read this. It's called Build on the Rock. Matthew 7, verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. So if you hear that, you are wise if you build your house on the rock. And we'll talk about what the rock is if you are kind of wondering about that. Verse 25 says, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. So the trials of life, everything Satan tries to do to discourage you, and to get you and to tempt you and to get you off track, that's what that's talking about. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Could probably capitalize that there.
Right.
Verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine, the word of God, right? Mm-hmm. And does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So here we have the sand. You know, are you building the foundation of your family on sand, or are you building, which is, let's just say, sand is the world. You're building your foundation on the sand, which is the world. Or are you building your foundation on the rock?
Right. Yeah.
Which is the word of God.
Exactly. I mean, that's what we're saying is the world basically is the sand. What the world says that you should do in your life, what you should do in your marriage is really the things that are built upon sand. It's not a strong foundation. Only the word of God is a real strong foundation that you can build your marriage and your life upon. And so Jesus is trying to teach people. He's teaching the crowd. He's doing and going about helping people understand the kingdom and the value of the kingdom. And he's saying, look, if you're wise, you're gonna look at the word of God. You're gonna listen to what I'm saying because I am God. He said that. He said, I am God. I am God in the flesh. And if you listen to me, I'm going to lead you into paths of righteousness, and I'm going to lead you into the way that brings life and wholeness and healing and just a better
security and
security,
protection,
all of those things.
Growth.
And, yeah. And he's the one that when the storms do come, you're not going to waver because your foundation and your life is built upon him.
Amen.
And what he says
Amen.
Is right. Not what the world says is right. Because the world says everything within the world is going to cause you to waver. There's no solid foundation there. Storms of life are going to come, but you're going to have peace in the storm as Jesus brought to his disciples when they were going across the Sea of Galilee in the boat. He brought peace to the storms in their life, and he's going to bring peace into your life. And so that's why we have to build our life upon the rock. And so I think you used, maybe you didn't use this analogy yet, but you know, when you lay down, you go to the beach and you lay down in the sand and you like, you know, you can do like a little snow angel.
Sand angel.
There you go. You can do a little sand angel or whatever. And that image looks like you, right?
Yeah, when so, you get up, what does the sand look like? It's an impression of you.
It's an impression of you. And so when you draw from the sand, if that's the worldly perspective, that's the worldly values that you're receiving, and you're going to look like the world. You're going to look like the sand. But when you actually lay upon the rock, you don't change the rock. The rock changes you.
You look like the rock when you get up.
Exactly. So you're going to look strong. You're going to look chiseled. You're going to be prepared for the battles and the things that lie ahead in your life and in your marriage. Mm-hmm. You're going to be ready for those mm-hmm. things. And so I want to read, when we were preparing for this, I was thinking of this scripture. And the thing that came to my mind was, consider the rock from which you were hewn. Mm-hmm. And so I want to read the full scripture. That's in Isaiah chapter 51, verses 1 and 2. And this is what it says. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, "A call to trust the Lord. Listen to me, all who hope for deliverance." Because everybody needs deliverance in their marriage in some form or fashion.
Absolutely.
Don't think that you've arrived. We don't think that we've arrived in our marriage. Mm-hmm. We know that we can constantly grow in our life. We go through seasons in our life, challenges in our life. And so God will constantly deliver us from that thing. Mm-hmm. Whatever that thing is that you're currently struggling with, you need deliverance from that. We need deliverance mm-hmm. from that. And so this is powerful. So listen to me, all who hope for deliverance, all who seek the Lord, this is key. Consider the rock from which you were cut, the quarry from which you were mined. Yes, verse 2, think about Abraham, your ancestor, and Sarah, who gave birth to your nation. Abraham was only one man when I called him, but when I blessed him, he became a great nation. And so here you go. You've got Abraham, who was credited to have righteousness, and the reason why Abraham was credited to have righteousness because he believed God.
Yes.
He didn't have the word of God like we have today, right? We know God's will because it's right before us. If you have a Bible or you're using it on your app. But Abraham didn't have that. He just heard the voice of God. And it could be a still small voice. It could have been something he heard audibly. We don't know that. But he heard the voice of God and he followed that because he believed God.
Amen.
And so,
Father of our faith.
When we talk about, you know, consider where you've been, the rock that you've been cut from. The rock is Abraham's faith and belief in God. What do we have? We have the word of God, which Abraham did not have, that we can stand on. Mm-hmm. It is our sole belief system that we can rely upon because it is the rock.
Amen.
And Jesus came and he was the rock because he was the word made flesh.
That's right.
And so when you think about that and you think about, okay, Abraham was one man, and we're talking about blessings generationally here, mm-hmm. right? We're talking mm-hmm. about building a lasting family legacy. And so Abraham was one man, but when God blessed him, he was a father of many nations. Mm-hmm. Kings and queens came from his lineage.
Amen.
And so that's what can happen in your life and in your marriage. God will raise you up, and he's going to raise you up to train your children in the way they should go. And you're going to have generations of family that are going to be blessed Amen. As a result of what you do, because you're considering the rock from which you were cut. You're basing your life and marriage upon faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Abraham did.
And that's so powerful. And that leads us into the three steps that we're going to give you today to build that lasting family legacy.
Yeah.
And that is a great segue into it, because the very first thing, and it's not the Bible is not meant to be difficult and complex.
No.
People want to make it confusing and make it complex, and it's not. The Bible is so simple, if you will. And the first simple thing that you can do, step number one, is surrender your life and your family to
exactly.
the Lordship of Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
And his word. If you mm-hmm. haven't done that, that is step number one. Mm-hmm. You need a heart change. You need to turn and give your life and, you know, confess and repent and give your life to the Lord.
Amen.
You know, not just like we've been talking about in the last week or last couple of weeks, you know, not in this area and not in just that area, everything. Every single area of your life, you need to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And so that means we can't control anything. Mm-hmm. God is in control.
Yeah.
And like we said last week or the week before, when you try to control, like inner vows, we were talking about inner vows, I will never, my kids will never wear hand-me-downs, or I will never trust people in authority.
I will never trust a woman. I saw how my mom treated my dad, and so I'm never going to trust a woman. I'm going to control my wife, or vice versa. The wife may say, I'm never going to trust a man because of how you may have seen your father treat your mom.
And what we get at the center of all that is fear. I get that. It is fear that is fueling those inner vows.
Right.
And so when we have those inner vows, we are in control of that area of our life. You may say, well, everything else, you know, Jesus can have and God can have control of everything else but this. Mm-hmm. Well, then you're not submitting your entire life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yeah. So the scripture just came to my mind was Proverbs chapter 3, I think verses 5 and 6. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Right? So that's what you're saying. You're basically saying, I have to put all of my trust, all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I do that, he's going to make my path straight. Amen. For me. You don't have to do it yourself. You don't have to control it. You don't have to set it up. God's going to make your path straight for you. Why? Because you're his child. When you give your life to Christ, you're his child, and he wants to do those things for you.
Amen. So Psalm 95:7-8 says, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. Mm-hmm. We are the sheep. He is the shepherd.
Right.
And the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. What is that saying? If you aren't saved, please give your life to Jesus Christ.
Today is the day of salvation.
There's nothing more important in your life than giving your life to Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
That is step number one.
Yeah, that is the most key thing. And you want the shepherd, you know, you want Jesus to be the shepherd of your life. It's kind of making reference to that.
Yeah, you go ahead
here.
And grab that there.
But Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, I'm going to get there, says this. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. So we've all, you know, know in our life. I mean, we didn't come to know the Lord really. I mean, our families knew God. We talked about God, but we didn't make our personal commitment to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior till we were in our early 30s.
Mm-hmm. And really didn't know what all that meant and entailed, and what all of our baggage and inner vows and bitter root judgments and everything that had to be burnt out of us. You know, that was just
the fire of God had to come in and burn up all of the bad.
Peel the layers back, burn it out.
The Bible refers to that stuff as dross, right? So like when metals are impure and you need to get the impurities out of the metal, you heat that metal up in a hot furnace, right? And all of that, the impurities and the what they call the dross, comes to the very surface and it's cleaned off. That's exactly what happens in your life. And so when Jesus comes into your heart, he begins a transforming process. When you yield to him, he'll transform your life.
Amen.
And so that dross in your life, if you will, that sin, those wrong behavior patterns, all those things are not of God. He's going to bring that to the surface so they can be wiped away and cleaned away. That's what he does.
And what that
he cleans it up.
And what that looks like is when Pastor Richard says he brings it to the surface. Now you're being made aware of it. Now you know light from darkness. Mm-hmm. Now you understand the sin that you're living in.
Until you get that revelation, that's so good. Until you get that revelation, it's hard to deal with something that you don't really understand or know that you're doing. Yeah. And so revelation is key. And so Jesus does that. And he does it not because he doesn't love you. He actually does it because he loves you, because he knows that those things that operate in your life that are really not of him and not of the word and what he teaches us, he knows that's holding you back from the greatness that lies within you. So don't think it's a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. It's hard to go through at times, but it's a good thing at the end of the day. He wants you
to. I'm going to jump to John 10:10 because it fits in right here, and then we'll come back to the Isaiah scripture if you're okay with that.
Do it.
So when that dross, those that sin in your life surface comes to the surface, and you're made aware of that, right? So John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So when all of the sin in your life, as you give your life to the Lord, and the sin in your life comes to the surface, and you're made aware, and you're like, it seems like every 2 seconds you're like, oh my gosh, there's another thing. Oh my goodness. At least that is what it was for me. Oh my goodness. There's another thing. Oh my goodness. And what the enemy wants you to do is grab a hold of that and make you feel guilty and shameful for that, mm-hmm. and make you feel like you're not even worthy and you're not good enough to be part of the kingdom and to know who mm-hmm. you really are. So that is what the enemy likes. He gets into your brain and he plays that record over and over of all the things that you've done bad in your life.
Yeah.
And so that's what that means. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's what he's going to do. So be aware, like the Bible says, be wise as serpents, but gentle as doves. Mm-hmm. So be aware of that. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
But don't allow the enemy, know the word, get into the word. If you don't have it in you and it's not written on your heart right now, grab a friend that is and does, and help have them help you sort through all of that and allow Jesus to really just free you of the bondage that you're in, because the enemy wants you to hang on to it. He wants you to pretend or think that you've gotten rid of it, but then you're going to pick it right back. You're going to pick that suitcase right back up and you're going to carry it with you, and you're going to be in this cycle of laying it down and picking it up and laying it down. And there's no freedom in that. You're circling the same tree over and over and over.
You know, I'm just thinking the devil wants to do exactly what you said, and he wants you to feel bad about it, mm-hmm. and he wants to remind you of your past. But this is what I'm going to tell you to do. Get a little snarky with the devil. Say, hey, thank you for showing me that, because now all I have to do is say 1 John 1:9. Mm-hmm. I'll confess my sin, because Jesus is faithful and just and will forgive me of my sins and purify me from all unrighteousness. So just rub it back in his face.
That's See,
thank you. Thank you, devil, for bringing that to light, because now I'm free from it. Thank you very much.
I think that you know, that is a great example of knowing, getting into the word and knowing who you are in Christ.
Yeah.
You know, it is so imperative to your daily walk with the Lord and your victory, because until you know who you are, that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, the authority that you have, the power that you have, mm-hmm. that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father who sent the Holy Spirit down to indwell within us so that we can mm-hmm. do the works and even greater works mm-hmm. that Jesus did here on the earth.
Yeah.
And once you get that into your spirit, man, you're bold and you're courageous, and you're not going to settle. You're not going to settle for the crap that the enemy throws at you, because you're going to see it and you're going to be like, you know what? That's fine. You're going to throw that in my face. I'm going to go harder after my salvation. And you know what? I'm going to go harder after my freedom, and I'm going to go harder after bringing more people into the kingdom.
Yeah.
That's the attitude that you've got to have with the enemy, because he cannot do anything to you but get into your mind and make you doubt.
He can only do to you what you allow him to do.
What you allow
him to. You have the
authority. Wow, we went off on a tangent.
That's okay. People need to hear this, because I'm telling you, you have the authority to stand up against the devil.
Oh my goodness.
He can only do what you allow him to do. And a lot of times, as you've said, honey, he attacks us in our mind. And so you have victory over that. Jesus came and said, look, I have... all things are finished. When he died on the cross, he said, it is finished. And he mm-hmm. said to his disciples, I've given you authority. So you're one of his disciples when you become a child of God. And so when you have that authority and you know whose you are, mm-hmm. then you can stand based upon that and say, no, it's not based on what I do. It's not based on my righteousness and my good works. It's based upon what Christ did. And Christ sent, as you said, the Holy Spirit to give me the strength and power to operate and function on a level that I can't do in my own in the mm-hmm. natural.
That's right.
He gives me that ability. And we love the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our friend. He's the third person of the Trinity. And so he's not just some dove that's floating in the air coming to fly down. No, he lives on the inside of you.
Amen.
Jesus said, don't look, you know, and say, look over here, look over there, you know, for the kingdom of God. He said, no, the kingdom of God is within you. Mm-hmm. So the Spirit of God, mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit, lives on the inside of you. He's mm-hmm. empowering you to stand as a child of God against the wiles and the attacks and the plans of the devil.
Amen.
And you're victorious.
Amen.
Don't let the enemy take you backward. Allow the Holy Spirit to take you forward.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
So let's move on to step two.
All right. So step two is trust God. We were getting off on a roll there, but that's okay. I think people needed to hear that.
So number one, surrender your life to the Lord.
Surrender your life to the Lord. That is the first and most important step. Secondly, trust God as your Heavenly Father to meet your needs and care for you. So let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 32.
I'll look up 1 John.
All right, Matthew chapter 6. Give me just a second here.
And then you let me know if you want me to read it.
Yeah, I think it's probably good. Reading the word is always good, right?
Always
faith comes
good.
By hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Awesome.
So it's important that we hear the word of God, because the word of God is what actually has power. The word breaks down strongholds. The word breaks down bondage and issues that we struggle in our life. And so when we have the word of God, we are overcomers, and we are victorious in Christ Jesus. So here's what it says in Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 32. It says, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. Don't they plant or harvest or store food in barns? For your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life?" I know we can get caught up in the worries of life, and it changes nothing. You know, we create all these stories in our head about what if and what, and probably 90% of those things never come to pass. Mm-hmm. But we worry about it, and we spend so much time thinking about it. It's a waste of time.
Yes.
Allow your Heavenly Father, who loves you, to guide you and lead you through the process, whatever you're going through, and He's going to take you there. You're going to have victory.
Mm-hmm.
You've already won in Jesus' name. And so why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all of his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, "What will we eat, what will we drink, and what will we wear?" These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. This is why you need to be a believer, right?
Right.
And then to stand on this scripture. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs, so seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. I think I read one more scripture beyond
that,
but that was an important
piece. Thing that jumped out at me was your Heavenly Father already knows your needs. And if we know step number two, to trust God as our Heavenly Father,
right,
to meet our needs. It says it right there in His word. He already knows every single need. He knows where you live. He knows what you go through every day. We need to trust Him, and you need to trust Him as your Heavenly Father to care for your needs, because He knows, and He will. He is the great provider. Amen.
That's exactly it.
So 1 John 2:15-17 is just kind of reinforcing the Matthew scripture. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world or the sand," let's just say, "the love of the Father is not in him." And that's huge. Like, if you find that you love the world and the things of the world more than you love getting into the Word and seeking a relationship with Jesus and your Heavenly Father, then there's a problem there.
Yeah.
The scripture says the Father's not in you. And so for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away. All of that, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the world. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Who would not want that?
Yeah.
Who would not want that?
That's called legacy.
It is.
And, you know, when you follow after after what Jesus is teaching and saying here, you're never going to go wrong. You're not going to be a failure, and you're actually going to bring your whole family into the kingdom of God. So what am I saying? I'm saying you have to have an eternal perspective. You can't think about this is just all there is.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Apostle Paul addressed this like, if this is all there is, eating, drinking, and having a party or whatever, you know, we should be pitied to not understand that there's actually more beyond this life. Jesus rose from the grave. The grave, his grave is empty. The tomb is empty.
That's right.
He's not there. You can't say that about anybody else and all the other religions in the world. They're in their grave and they're dead. They didn't rise from the dead. So that's the difference with Christianity, is that we have a Savior that does not live in the ground any longer. He lives in heaven, and he's going to return again one day, and he's going to take us back with him. And so you want to follow after Jesus. You want to follow after God and what he has to say about your life, because at the end of the day, you're going to be living in eternity one place or the other. And I'm telling you today that you want to live with him and your Heavenly Father forever in eternity. And you want your family there as well.
Yes.
And I don't want you on that day to wonder, I wish I would have listened to, whether it's Pastors Richard or Donna or somebody else who told me that I needed to accept Christ as my Savior, because I need a Savior. I can't do this on my own, and I am a sinner. Don't wait until that day to find that out, because every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, and it's all going to be known at that time. And so we want to be in that place where we're going to be eternally, not separated from God, but eternally with him forever and ever and ever. And so that matters so much. And so allow God to be your shepherd.
Amen.
Allow him to meet your every need. Put your trust totally in him. And just consider your life and where you haven't trusted him. Consider making that first step in your life to say, you know what, I haven't trusted God in my life and in my marriage, and I'm going to trust him. I'm going to start trusting him today. Today's the day.
Yeah.
I'm going to give my life to Christ. If you've never done that, I'm going to give my life to Christ. And out of that, I'm going to begin a ripple effect through my family that's going to bring my whole family to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, because I want not only myself, but I want my entire family and everybody that I come in contact with to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, because that is the foundation for life.
Amen.
It's the foundation for your life. It's the foundation for your marriage. It's the foundation for everything. And so when you build your life upon that strong foundation, which is the rock, you're never going to lack, because he is the good shepherd.
Amen.
He is the shepherd that cares for you. We are his flock. We are his sheep, as the Bible refers us to at times.
Yeah, he created us so that we would have a dependency on him. Because independence from God is nothing.
Right.
Like, you're in the world.
Yeah.
And so
everything depends upon you at that point.
Yeah, he created every one of us, whether you are a believer now or will become a believer. He created us to be dependent on him. And why is that? Because we make a mess of things. We only know what we can see. We only know the here and now. And so our dependency, we have to fully depend on God as our Father, our Heavenly Father. And in doing so, that means we're abiding in him. You know, what do we ask of our children? That they obey us,
right,
that they abide in us, that they aren't rebellious against us, you know, all of those things. And it's the same with our Heavenly Father. So get to know him as your Heavenly Father. That's step number two. And we'll jump to step number three. How do you do all this, Pastors Richard and Donna? Like, okay, I need to give my life to Jesus. And now you're telling me I need to trust my Heavenly Father. Trust the Lord as my Heavenly Father.
Right.
Trust God, excuse me, as your Heavenly Father.
Right.
How do I do this day in and day out? Well, it's simple. I have a simple answer for you.
Yeah.
Keep your family, you, your spouse, your family in church. Keep them in church, a Bible-believing church.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of churches out there that aren't Bible-believing churches. They're more about tickling your ears so they can get your money. That's not what we're talking about. When you have a right relationship with the Lord, you want to give, and not just your money. You want to give of your time, your talents, and obviously your finances, because you're that, and that is your act of worship. You're serving the Lord that way. Mm-hmm. So Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Did you want to read that?
Or I
know I've got it pulled up.
Oh, you can read it if you want.
It says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So that's good, right? Mm-hmm. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. What is that saying? Mm-hmm. Go to church.
Yeah.
Be around a body of believers, Jesus believers. Mm-hmm. As is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. It is so imperative and important that you are surrounded, that you give your life to the Lord, and you're surrounded by fellow believers,
yeah.
People that believe in the Word of God, people that believe what the Bible says, and they appropriate all of that. They pull that into their spirit and into their life. And they can be an encouragement to you. They can, we build one another up when we are in the body of believers. We build one another up. We encourage one another daily, as it's saying.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, you know, the thought that was coming to me was bad company corrupts behavior.
It does.
The opposite is true. As you're saying, when we're around a body of believers, a church of believers that believe the same way, that's a Bible-based church, that kind of community that you're involved with is also going to affect your behavior in a positive way.
Yes.
It's going to be founded upon the rock. It's going to be founded upon the Word of God. And so it's important to be around like-minded people. If we've said this before in other things about like divorce or whatever, but if you're around people that like, you know, don't value marriage and the purpose of marriage and the fact that marriage is important for families and a positive impact upon society. And at the first problem in your life and in your marriage, they say, well, just divorce the person. That's not the kind of people you want to be around. I'm not saying there aren't situations where we've talked about this before where, you know, a circumstance or circumstances call for a separation for a time until things can be worked out. But that shouldn't be our go-to place
because that's only in abuse situations,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, it's too convenient. And so when we surround ourselves with people that believe in the Word of God, that trust God for their lives, they're going to impart that into your life and marriage. And they're going to bring encouragement to you where the negative side of things and people that have a different view on life are agnostic or, you know, they're atheists or whatever. They don't believe in God at all or the value of what God teaches in His Word. They're going to bring you down. I'm just telling you, they're going to bring you down. There's not going to be any life there. And their advice is of the world. It's of the sand. It's going to get washed away. It's not a strong foundation and it's not going to last. But God's Word lasts. And people that believe in God's Word are good people to be around because they're going to help to encourage you and to fill you up and to help you through those hard times and difficult times.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
What we need in our life.
Amen.
So being together in a Bible-believing church is powerful.
Amen.
Powerful.
That's right.
Let me read this scripture from Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. It says this, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates." So just take that scripture, the gods beyond the Euphrates. That's the world. So do you want to serve the gods of this world? Is that who you really want to go after? All of the pop stars in music or theater or
Satan
movies?
Satan worshipers, that's what they all are.
Pretty much. If that's who you want, that's out there. You have choices. You have options. Or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. So, you know, we're living in this world, but we're not supposed to be of this world. Mm-hmm. You know, when we're children of God, we're not supposed to be of this world. We're not supposed to follow the pattern of the world. We're supposed to be set apart and different. Because when we're set apart and different, it actually attracts people. It can repel, too, because of who's living on the inside of you. But ultimately, we need to be a light in this world.
Yes.
And so you have to decide, who are you going to follow? But it says, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And so that's the decision that Don and I have made in our life. But as for me and our household, we are going to serve the Lord. The Lord is our God. There is no other God above our God. Not finances, not anything. That's not our God. Because when we start to have other gods before Him, now we have idols. Now we're basically breaking one of the Ten Commandments, because God is a jealous God. He wants all of us. He doesn't want just a part of us. He doesn't want us. He wants us to trust Him to say, look, I will take care of you. I will take care of your every need. I want to, because you're my child and I love you. Don't ever doubt that. That is who He is. That is what He wants for you and I. So, look, we all have options, you know, on whom, you know, we can serve.
It's a choice.
It's a choice. There's so many options out there, whether it's, you know, your favorite sports team or whatever. You fill in the blank. We can serve so many other gods, but are you going to allow the one true God to be that person in your life that's the steady, that's the rock when the storms of life come, that's going to bring peace amidst the storms of life? There's only one that can do that, and His name is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can bring true peace. He's the only one that can bring true joy. He's the only one that can fulfill your heart's desires and your dreams. He's the only one that knows the beginning from the end. And He knows that specifically about you. He already knows what the specific plan is for you life. And so you have to submit yourself and say, you know, I've done things my own way. And it's not, I've not really seen the success. I feel empty on the inside. Mm-hmm. I'm not happy. I'm not joyful. I feel like I'm just, you know, the walking dead. There's nothing good coming out of my life. Well, Jesus can change that today.
Yes.
Amen. He can change it today. And you need to start with giving your life to Jesus Christ.
And so how do you do that? We're just going to walk them through today.
Yeah.
We want you to start living a life free from the sin of your past, and that it would be washed away white as snow. So the first thing that you need to do, you need to recognize.
Yeah.
We say that all the time. Mm-hmm. Behaviors, things we say, we need to recognize that we are sinning, that mm-hmm. we are living a life of sin, and we're not living according to the Word of God. And then secondly, we need to repent. And repent means to turn, really like 180 degrees, right?
Yep.
Not 360, because you're right back where you were. You need to repent means to turn away.
Right.
So you recognize that you are a sinner and that you do sin each and every day. And then you repent of that, which is confession. Lord, I'm confessing that, you know, and I'm repenting of the sin of you can even be very specific if you'd like. And then you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So do you want to go ahead and lead them through that?
Why don't you do that?
Okay.
All right.
All right. So just if you are listening to this broadcast live, and if you are listening on demand later, and you are choosing to give your life to Jesus Christ right now, repeat after me. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner, and I come to you today, and I recognize, Lord, that my sin is holding me back from you. I recognize that I am not living my life to the fullest that it could be, and that I'm living my life without you. And Father, I repent of my sin. I repent of my stinking thinking. I repent of my bad attitude. I repent of the sin that I'm walking in every day. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for making me aware of that. And I receive you right now, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior, because I confess that you are Lord and King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I confess that you are, that you rose from the grave to give me life. And so I invite you into my heart right here and right now today, and I give you lordship over my life, every single area of my life. Thank you, Father, for saving me. Thank you for the saving grace of your salvation. Thank you that I am a Christian, and I will walk in victory the rest of the days of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So if you've given your life to the Lord, please go to our website, revivalnow.com. Mm-hmm. There's a big red button on the homepage that says, I just got saved. We want to hear from you, and we want to connect you with resources and videos that's going to help you on this new journey that you have.
Amen. Yeah. We want you to fill out that information. We want to be able to pray for you. We're not going to we're not going to send you or spam you with a bunch of information. We actually just want to send you helpful information, a booklet to try to give you understanding about the decision that you've made today. And so just please, you know, hit that big red button, complete the information. We'd love to send you some resources to help you. Plus, there's resources on our website to help you as well. 4 short videos that will help guide you and teach you about the decision that you just made to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Well, thank you for joining us today. We love you, and welcome to the family of God.
Amen.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening today. Catch all of our podcasts at revivalnow.com and send us your Marriage Minute questions at marriageminute@revivalnow.com.